All right. Awesome. So maybe you consider whether God would have you go. I encourage you to go. It's a decision you won't regret. It's easy for me to say. All right. So in this process, one of the things that we've been talking about in this series about heirs is about this inheritance. And that's really been the main subject of it. And so today we're going to kind of continue on that in Joshua chapter 14. But have you ever considered, will we all kind of be equal? I mean, when Jesus comes back, right now we see a lot of people who are rich, a lot of people who are poor, right? You see some people who are talented, and there's some of us that aren't very talented at all. There's some people who have very prestigious jobs. There are some people who have kind of menial jobs. What about when Jesus comes back? Are we all going to be equal? Even if you listen to like presidential debates, one of the topics that really our country is concerned about is equality. And not just racial equality, not just gender equality, not just economic equality. There's all equality across the board. We kind of like for everybody to be the same. And I don't know if you've ever considered whether or not that's what Jesus wants or not. You ever thought about that? What does God want? Does he want everybody to have the same amount of things, to be able to be good at the same things, to be the same way? And so when we look at Joshua chapter 14, we're not going to take a whole lot of time to go through here, but there are some things that are going to be the same for every single person who's a believer in Jesus Christ. But we're going to find that there are some things that are not the same. And God's not just going to say, everybody gets the same amount no matter what. And so then you start wondering, well, how do you end up in one of those two categories? I mean, do you have to do something right to end up with more? Is it that you do something bad that you end up with less? And if so, I want to make sure that I'm going to get more and not get less, especially if that's what God wants for me. And so we're going to check out Joshua chapter 14. I think it's going to be really good. We don't really have a whole lot of time to really dive into this passage maybe as much. So I'm going to skip a few things for you on your end. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to make things difficult on you today. Joshua chapter 14, let's start in verse 1 together. It says, "And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for an inheritance." Verse 2 says, "By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe." Why for the nine and a half tribes? If you were here last week, remember that two and a half tribes got their inheritance on the other side, on the wilderness side of the Jordan River, right? We talked about the difference between getting your inheritance here and now or getting your inheritance there and then. And so now he's going to deal with the nine and a half that get their inheritance there and then in the promised land, right? Which is what we want. We don't want our inheritance in this life. We want our inheritance in the next life. That's when it really counts. And so he's talking about now these nine and a half tribes are going to get their inheritance by lot. I don't know if you know what that means or not. By lot. Does it mean everything's like kind of in a parcel of ground and you just pick which plot of land that you want? What does it mean? Well, the lot, I'll just explain it to you really quickly. The lot is kind of like, you could think of it like drawing straws. All right. So it's a way in the Old Testament that God revealed what he wanted. It's how he gave direction and guidance. And this is going to totally sound weird, but this is what they did. They'd get a bag. And for the nine and a half tribes, there's 10 rocks that they're going to pick. Probably 10 white rocks. Or nine white rocks and one black rock. And they're going to shake them up in the bag like a dice. And then they're going to throw them out on a guy's lap. He's going to sit down in a chair and he's going to pull his robe tight so it makes kind of a makeshift table. And he's going to cast the lots into the guy's lap. And what he calls the heads of the tribes, those 10 guys are going to stand around Eleazar the priest. And Joshua's going to throw those stones into the guy's lap. And however they're arranged, the one that's closest, the black one's close to you, Judah. So this is the land, or this is your inheritance in the promised land. That's how casting of lots worked. And that sounds really weird to us, right? Does that sound weird to you? Like, here's the Almighty God of the universe, and the way he's going to decide who gets this inheritance that he's been talking about for the last 45 years to these people, and really hundreds of years before that to Abraham. Now he's going to decide by casting some stones and seeing where the stone lies. It's weird. But look what the Bible says, just real quick. We don't have a whole lot of time to talk about it. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33. Look what God says about the lot. He says, the lot is cast into the lap, because he throws it into that guy's lap. But the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. The whole arranging of it, how it all plays out in that guy's lap, you know who's in charge of that? The Lord. And the way God worked in the Old Testament is when he wanted them to decide who gets what part of this promised land, they'd put a bunch of rocks in a bag and they'd throw it, and God would direct the way that he wanted it. And that sounds weird to us. That sounds kind of superstitious, doesn't it? It sounds kind of strange. And that's okay, because now in this time, we have so many awesome privileges that we don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to draw straws or throw stones or cast dice to be able to find out what does God want. In fact, if you're facing some decisions in your life and you want to know, how would I tell what God wants? Should I take this job or should I take this job? Should I move here? Should I move there? Should I get married or should I find somebody else? You don't have to get a bunch of rocks together and throw them. Now, we have some advantages they didn't have then. This is the first advantage you got. You got the Word of God. They didn't have that. In fact, the only thing they had of the 66 books, Moses had only written down 5 of them. And so the first thing you want to look for when you're talking about how to make a decision is you want the Word of God to give you direction. So open the Bible and just start walking with God. Don't flip around like this, like, this verse says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And I'm afraid of this, so that's probably what God wants me to do. Just walk with God and read his word. And as you read day by day, and as you listen to people teach, he's going to direct you with his word. So the word of God gives us direction. And then we have another advantage they didn't have. And that's that now the Holy Spirit of God lives in you if you're a believer. That wasn't true back then. In fact, even when Jesus rose from the dead and his apostles are standing around, he says, wait here, because the Holy Spirit's coming, and he hasn't come yet. But now we live in a time when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And so what you want is to get direction from the Word of God and then get confirmation from the Spirit of God. You know, when you're walking with God, God's Holy Spirit, when you're about to make a decision, he can give you this dissonance. You know what I'm talking about? This uneasy feeling that this is not right. I don't think this is what God wants me to do. Or he can give you a peace that passes all understanding. So you want to look for some confirmation from the Spirit of God. And the third thing we get is we get affirmation from the people of God. That God has placed us in a body where we have people who love us and care about us. So seek the counsel of spiritual people around you. And so they didn't have some of those things back then, especially the first two on the list. And so God said, I want you to cast lots. And in fact, he even says here, he mentions in Joshua chapter 14, that that's how Moses commanded it to be done. God's command for Moses was, when you go into the promised land, the way you're going to divvy it up is by casting lots. Let me give you the verses. If you want to, you can look them up. In fact, I don't have them. I took them out of my notes. I'm sorry. Why did I do that? I don't know. When you're trying to cut down a message to a certain length, you just start throwing stuff out. All right. We got to keep going, though. So I want to answer some things for you about how this happens. Because everybody gets it by lot. God chooses who gets it. Right? He chooses, Judah, you're going to get this land. So they brought this land out and they said, okay, here's a section of land. Who gets that? and they cast the lots, and they say, it's next to Judah. God says Judah gets that land. And so they just trust that God's in control. And you know, as weird as it is, there's part of us that says, man, I wish I could just cast a lot. And God would tell me by the scenes whether I'm making the decision or not. But can you imagine trying to trust that that is God moving? I mean, what we have now is the infallible Word of God and the presence of God's Spirit inside of us. It should, if anything, faith should be easier for us. 2 Peter chapter 1 describes the Word of God as a more sure word of prophecy than hearing God's audible voice, than seeing God's glory. It's more sure than hearing and seeing. It's God's Word. That's really the subject that we're going to talk about today, is faith. Because as God is divvying out these inheritances, somebody gets a specific inheritance. It's not even by lot. It's something that's promised to them because of their faithfulness and their ability and their willingness to follow the Lord by faith. I want you to check it out with me. Let's look at verse 6. Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, I got to say this in Caleb's voice. If you know about Caleb, you'll find out today he's kind of a big warrior guy. So I'm going to try and give her kind of a bigger voice. So this is what Caleb says. Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord. This guy Caleb, when, if you know the story, it's from Numbers chapter 14. But when they were supposed to first go into the promised land, Moses sent 12 spies. 12 spies, 10 were bad and 2 were good. That's how you remember that. That little song will help you. Joshua and Caleb were the two spies that came back and they said, listen, this land is awesome. It is incredible. It's everything God said it would be. Let's go in and take it. 10 of the spies said, this land is awesome. It's everything that God said it would be. We should stay here because there are some giants in that land. I mean, they're huge. They're 13 feet tall. And listen, those guys were like grasshoppers compared to them. And they made the heart of the people to melt. And everybody said, oh no, I can't be fighting no giant. We're staying here. And they decided to stay in the wilderness. But because Joshua, and because Caleb, we'll see Joshua in the future, but because Caleb wholly follows the Lord, because then he steps up and says, no, no, guys, don't make this mistake. God has promised to bring us out of Egypt, and he did it. God has provided for us every step of the way in the wilderness. And now he's saying, go into this land I've already given to you. Let's believe him. Let's go in. And all the people said no. But because he wholly followed the Lord, even when everybody else was too afraid to live by faith, he gets a very specific, very special inheritance. It's not by lot, it's by promise. And what you're going to find today as we study this is that God has a specific inheritance for you, a special inheritance in the there and then, not in the here and now, something in the promised land that's way better than the wilderness. And you get it by following by faith. And so let's, the first question that we're going to answer is why you get a specific inheritance. Why do you get it? You get it because you act like Caleb here. When he says, my brethren made their hearts faint. The other Jews, the other spies, they did not get to enter into the promised land. And they do not get a special inheritance. But Caleb does. And I want to show you this from Hebrews chapter 3, where he's talking about it. The reason why they didn't get an inheritance is because they didn't have faith. Unbelief, that was the problem. Hebrews 3 says, "But with whom was he grieved?" God grieved 40 years. "Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not." Sometimes when you see that "them that sinned," maybe you think about, oh, well, remember they built the idol that they worshiped, that calf. Maybe that's what he's talking about. But what he's talking about is their sin was that they believed not. In fact, he goes on and he says, "So we see that they could not enter in, not because of mistakes that they had made, not because of the idol worship, not because of complaining in the wilderness, not because of doubting that God could give them water from a rock or complaining. It was because of unbelief. No faith." But it says, Caleb says, "I wholly followed the Lord with all of my heart." And that is the central reason why he gets it. In fact, in case you kind of read past it there in verse 8, at the end of verse 9, he says that Moses is talking to him. He says, "Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." And in case maybe you missed it there, verse 14 says, "Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and to this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." Three times in this small chapter, he's going to say, the reason you get this inheritance is because you wholly followed the Lord. When everybody else saw the giants, when everyone else doubted, you had faith. You believed what God is, what God said. So, to answer the question, why you get a specific inheritance, you get it by following by faith. So let me ask you, is there something God's asking you to do? Is there something that God is asking you to give? Is there something that God is asking, somewhere God's asking you to go? Some sacrifice he's asking you to make, some act of obedience that he wants you to do, something he wants you to trust him with that you just think, man, I don't know if I can trust God with that. If you do, he's got an inheritance for you. Something really special. Something very specific. Not by lot, but by promise. We're going to see it in a second. But when you, by faith, believe the promises and the Word of God, he rewards that. He gives reward to those. And I love what... I'm going old school here with the paper notes. Hey, like that. And he goes on in verse 7, Caleb says, it's not just something I said. Because isn't it easy to say, I believe God, I trust him. But he says, he brought back word as was in his heart. It's more than just saying, I trust God. It's being willing to step out in faith. To really believe it in your heart. If you're like me, maybe you say, God, I trust you with this situation that I just can't control. And I'm just going to trust that you have it in your control. Amen. And as soon as I say amen, my mind starts thinking about how I can fix this situation myself. Or I begin worrying about that again. And what that says is, that faith is not really in my heart. It's words that I'm saying, but it's not really true. I don't really trust God with it. I keep wanting to control it myself. Or God asks me to do something, I say, God, I'll do that. But it doesn't take but a day or two later when excuses and reasons why that won't be the best thing or maybe now is not the best time start entering in. Have you ever done that? Caleb says, that's what was in my heart. It wasn't just words from his mouth. I want to give you another example because you might think this reward, this inheritance that God has for him, maybe that's just Caleb. That's a one-time instance. But I want to show you somebody totally different. Somebody more than 100 years later. somebody who's not a warrior. She's a woman. In a time where women have no respect. You think women don't get paid the same as men? Man, talk about not being able to vote, not being able to own property, not being able to file police reports. That's the kind of place where this woman lives. Her name's Ruth, and she's a Gentile, so she's not even a Jew. To the Jews, she'd be considered a dog. I would read a couple verses there on the screen, Ruth chapter 2. Listen to her story. This man, Boaz, is the kinsman redeemer. He's a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, as we are a beautiful picture of Ruth, this Gentile who marries this very wealthy redeemer. That's who Jesus Christ is. Our relationship with him as the bride and the groom. Look at Ruth 2, verse 11 and 12. It says, Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother. Wait a second. This lady Ruth, her husband's dead. And so she's a widow. And widows don't receive Social Security. In her world, widows are kind of outcast. In fact, most cultures and hers believe if you're a widow, you are probably a curse to your husband, and so we want nothing to do with you. This woman, the only people she has is father and mother, and she left them to go follow this other woman named Naomi, to make Naomi's God, the God of the Bible, her God. It says, Thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity. Everything that you knew, the culture you were used to, you left it. And art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Now listen to what he says. The Lord recompense thy work. And a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. She gets a reward, a full reward. From who? From the Lord, not from Boaz. He says, God's got something even better than what I can give you. And why is she going to get it? The last phrase says, under whose wings thou art come to trust. It was Rahab's faith. She believed that God would take care of her. So she was willing to leave her father, her mother, her land of her nativity, go to a land where she didn't know anybody, to a culture that wouldn't like her, they would despise her. And she did it in faith. She trusted the Lord, and so she gets a full reward for her inheritance. Faith is simply believing God's word. It's trusting what God says is true, no matter what circumstances I see with my eyes, or make sense in my brain, or what I feel in my heart. It's trusting God. That's what Caleb does. That's what Ruth does. We're going to just ask yourself and just take a second to say, what is God asking me to do? It might be scary. As Caleb's going to find out, there are going to be giants in that land, obstacles. It's going to cost you something. You might do it alone, like the whole rest of the nation doesn't want to go into the promised land. Are you willing to stand up if everybody else does not? That's how he could say, that's what was in my heart, because that's what was lived out in his words and his actions. He wholly followed the Lord. All right. So that's why you get a specific inheritance. And that's huge, man. That's really the concept that you got to get today, is it's by following by faith. But when do you get that reward? And real quick, we're not going to take a lot of time to go through it, but look at verse 10. Caleb says, Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said. These 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He says, man, like God said, he told me he was going to keep me alive. And I've watched everybody my age except for Joshua die. Can you imagine that? Everybody he knew over the last 45 years, they've all died, and God has kept him alive as he said. I believed what God said. And again, even now, his focus is on trusting in what God says. After 45 years, that's a long time, right? Many of you in here today are not 45 years old yet. That's a long time to believe a promise that God made. And it wasn't 45 years of living the good life. It was 45 years in the wilderness. 45 years of complaining from the people who put him there. 45 years of sin, of people turning from God. 45 years of wandering around without a home. But he trusted in what God said. And I'll just tell you, a promise is always about something in the future, right? That's the way promises work. And God's promise to him that he would enter in and inherit a specific place in the promised land, it was for something future. And we got to get that, because we really struggle with this idea of faith, because what we can see and we want it now, and we think, how do I know for sure God is going to do this? And it doesn't look like he's going to do this. But faith is believing in God. Look at verse 11. He says, as yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For what? For war. Both to go out and to come in. Caleb says, I'm as strong at 85 as I was at 40. That's pretty good, right? And he says, and not just strong like, I can still get out and mow the grass. For war. He says, I'm strong when I go out. I'm strong when I come back in. That's some supernatural strength, because I've never been in war. But I'm betting some hand-to-hand combat is going to wear you out. And he says, I'm as strong when I come out as when I go in. Let me give you some verses. You can check them out. We don't have time to go there today. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. Then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Let me tell you what this verse says. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. Because those who seek him, who diligently seek him, must believe that he is a rewarder of them that love him. Faith always comes with a reward. It says, I trust what God says, and he's going to reward me. Then some more verses. Hebrews 11, 26. It's going to talk about a great hero of the faith who didn't get their inheritance then. They had to wait. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 and 40 talks about some more heroes who they didn't receive the inheritance then. They waited after that life. And I'm going to tell you, your inheritance that God's promising you is in the promised land. It's in the there and then, not in the here and now. And it's going to take some time. So when you get a specific inheritance, it's in the next life. Which is better. Because how long do you live in this life? Maybe you live 80 years. That's pretty short compared to what God has prepared for you. Read verse 12 with me. It says, now therefore give me this mountain. That's what Caleb says. He says, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. This guy's 85 years old, and he doesn't say, give me some of the good fruit of the land. He says, give me that mountain. I'm going to go conquer some enemies. That's pretty awesome. Right? Here's this guy who says, I may be 85 years old, but God's not done with me yet. And I don't know how old all of you are or what God's calling you to do. But it's easy to think, well, it's too late for me. I'm too old for this, or I've already made these decisions. I've made these mistakes. It's too late for this. But not for Caleb. Would you be like Caleb today? Would you say, God, this is what you're calling me to do, and it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to trust like he says. If the Lord be with me, he'll give me that land. If that's what you've called me to do, God, I believe that you'll do it through me. So I'm going to trust in your power and trust in your ability, not in my own. And that's what he does. We don't have time to go there. Judges chapter 1 and verse 20 says that Caleb did go into that land, and there were giants in that land, and he killed them. He drove them out, the inhabitants of that mountain. And the name of that mountain is called Hebron. We don't really have a lot of time. In fact, if you'll flip to the very last point there, the last point is what you get specifically. And the one that has the full list, it'll have four things written down. We don't have time to go, but I do want to tell you what they go through it, but I do want to tell you what he got. In this place called Hebron, he got a home where he had wandered. This place, Hebron, is the very place that Caleb went and spied the land. When he went in to check out the land, this is the land that he saw. And God said, I'm going to give you that land. Maybe you didn't get to get it in this life, but I've got it for you in the next life. And the next thing he gets faithfulness where he had death. Or he gets fruitfulness, I'm sorry. He had fruitfulness where he had death. This place, Hebron, is the place where Abraham is buried, where Rachel is buried, those are his ancestors, where Isaac is buried, where Rebekah is buried, where Jacob is buried. See, what happens is people die. And he's experiencing death in the same place where God says, in the next life, that's going to be a place of fruitfulness for you. Because this promised land, this section of it called Hebron, is a very fruitful area. You remember when they came back from the promised land and they had that huge cluster of grapes and everybody was marveling at how big that was? You know where that came from? The plain of Eshcol in Hebron. It's a place of fruitfulness. It's also the place in Genesis chapter 18 that God made a promise to Abraham. And he said, I know your wife is old and you don't think she can have a baby, but I'm going to give her a baby. And his wife Sarah kind of laughed. But God did give her that baby. Not as soon as she thought she would have it. Not when she wanted it even. But in his perfect timing. That's what you find in Hebron. It's, people say even today, Hebron is very fertile. And it has the largest vineyard in the entire region of Palestine. The next one is they have alliance where they had adversaries. Hebron is the name. That word means alliance or communion. It symbolizes that communion that you have with God. But before, if you looked at verse 15, forgive me. The name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. It's the city of Arba. Arba was a giant, one of the giants in the land. And he says, man, that's a place where you're going to have some enemies. And even right now in this life, you might have enemies, but God says, I'm going to give you peace, and I'm going to give you communion with me. And the last part goes with it. You have rest from war. The very last sentence of this phrase is, the land had rest from war. Man, in that future inheritance, you get rest. Sometimes we want rest right now, right? Man, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I just want to take a break. And God says, I got your break coming. You'll have rest in the next life. But right now, follow me so I can give you that rest. So I can give you everything that I've got planned for you. Listen, today I don't know what God may be dealing with your heart about. I don't know what he's asking you to do. But I do know this. If you by faith believe him and will step out to follow by faith, he has a special inheritance for you. Not just the general lot that's going to fall and everybody's going to be at peace, but he's got something very special. Hebrews 11:6 says that he is a rewarder of them that believe him. Do you believe him? Do you believe God's word? Do you believe that God is capable of handling every situation in your life? If you do, God says, that's how you please me, with faith. And when you do that, I want to give you a reward.